This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning to everybody in the Klang Valley and beyond. It is, what time is it? 6 o'clock
six
in the morning?
O'clock.
It is
still 6 a.m. stretch.
6 a.m. stretch. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharitz and Joyce Goh, my erstwhile colleague from Penang. How are both of you?
Good morning. Good. Because, you know, the weekend's around the corner.
The weekend is long weekend.
Yes, that's right. Long weekend.
That's right.
Get that right.
The best kind of weekend.
You guys are pathetic.
Why?
You should enjoy Monday to Thursday as well, man. You know, those are proper days, you know. And there's things to be had on weekdays as well, you know.
Doesn't always revolve around.
No lie. Okay, I buy you ice cream after this. So what are the plans? What are you guys going to do?
Well, I'm going to catch up with some football.
Yeah?
It's been a while. Well,
you got to play a lot.
I'm going to play some football. Let's try that. But also, you know, watch some football. I think it's been a while. Manchester United.
Manchester United.
It's been a while since I've caught that one. That's right.
What are you? Are you a striker or football, or goalie or what? Defender? Or
I do defensive mid or center back.
Yeah, because you're a big guy, right? So you're like a jet.
Yeah, I just can't run. I just can't chase people anymore.
Chase people or get chased.
Do you play football, Chuang?
I'm a very, very good footballer.
So you're a
You know Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah.
You know Leo Messi?
Mm-hmm.
A bit like that, really.
Yeah, sure.
Very convincing. How about you, Joyce?
No, I don't play football. No.
Like, what you going to do?
I don't get football. I know, just going away with the family, nice. Spending some time with the
going
in-laws.
Going away with the family.
Yeah,
what
about yourself?
I want to stay put, man. Long weekends are the worst times.
Enjoy the traffic-free time here. And catching up with some sleep.
So you're going to leave the country or going to go local?
We're going to Singapore to visit my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. High level like this one.
Speaking of traffic, my ride this morning coming here was just about to break down.
Your ride, as
so
in the Grab.
So better get your car fixed before you.
Oh, good thing you've got
your
here.
Your own car or the Grab ride?
Well, the Grab ride.
Oh, okay.
No, that's some scary stuff. Mm-hmm.
So we've got lots of interesting stories to get into. Starting with you, Encik Sharitz Abdullah. What are you going to do?
That's right.
What are you going to talk about?
Well, the Deputy Prime Minister now just mentioned that they are mulling on imposing curfew for teenagers to combat drug addiction. Now, in Iceland, they introduced this measure by placing curfew to those aged 13 to 16, and they have to be back home by 10 p.m. So, do you think this will help? So, yeah.
That's a good question. What are you going to talk about?
Well, you both are fathers, so I'm sure you must have some Lego lying around the house, probably stepped on your fair share of Lego pieces at home.
That's right.
You're painful, huh?
Yeah, I know. Well, do you know those small Lego pieces lying around at home could be worth much more than how much you paid for it? So, this is according to a latest article on Bloomberg, that Lego sets are the hottest new asset class. So we're going to discuss that.
Okay, that sounds interesting. I'm going to be talking about the fact that some people in this world are not happy with being by themselves in silence, right? All that and more after this, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Fairport Convention with a song that everybody of my generation will be able to relate with. It's titled, Who Knows Where the Time Goes? Right? And it does, I mean, especially when you're having fun. Right, I'm Chuang, joined by Sharitz Abdullah and Joyce Goh. My selection for the story of this morning is the fact that, and this is where the story comes from, an organization called Rice Media. It covers Asia. It's all about the countercultural things that's happening. But I'm not sure that whether this story really is confined to Asia or whether it's a global thing. It's really basically people who can't sit in silence and do things on their own in silence. They've got to play something in the background. And in this current generation, it's things, content by Netflix. But when I look through the stories, it's anything. It's reruns of Friends. It's, whatever program that they just feel comfortable listening to in the background. The babbling of voices, conversations just happening in the background, which give them this little endorphin rush so they can get about their lives more efficiently. Do you guys have to do that?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen in my house. I think it does. Now with internet being free, you know, you don't have to
it's
worry
not free,
about
dude.
Internet's free.
No, I mean, okay, look, okay, let's rephrase that. A bandwidth being unlimited.
Yes.
So things like Netflix,
it's not free. What's free?
Look at your radar.
Oh my god.
So I think I blame that, the fact that bandwidth is just unlimited.
Yeah.
So
Okay, it's well, at my house, I have young kids, so you don't really need the TV.
No, you've got the sound.
The sound is there already, the noise is there already, so yeah. Well, but when I travel for work, when I used to travel for work, and I mean, it's not a lot, we don't travel a lot for work, but like a trip a year, and I'm alone in the hotel room, I do leave the TV on. Okay. Like Bloomberg or CNBC, just on, just have it at the background playing. And yeah, sometimes I listen in to the news, but I'm not actually watching TV.
Yeah, I was like that, you know, back in my corporate days, I used to turn on CNBC or Bloomberg just to hear people talking about bits and pieces, gold, silver, whatever.
Yeah,
right?
You tune in and tune out, kind of, but you're not actually watching the TV, right?
Especially when you start hearing weird sounds on the ceiling or something, and that's when you need to start switching on the TV. That's my case, at least.
Actually, there's one time I was in Hong Kong and I was staying in the Mandarin Oriental, right? I was working lah, Bloomberg at the time.
Okay, for work.
For work lah. And one of the team members in my team, I think she was from Singapore or something, but this Dutch lady, she said she was hearing sounds from her closet, right? And obviously this is, I think was it Leslie, you know the famous singer Leslie Lau or something, whatever.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He committed suicide in the Mandarin Oriental.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I saw it.
So did she move rooms?
She moved rooms. Right. But you know, I think she could have avoided the whole thing by just playing Netflix in the background.
Right. There was no Netflix then. So just the TV, I guess.
I read somewhere that Netflix is something like 15% of global bandwidth. Have you guys heard that?
Wow.
No.
Right?
Yeah, well. It could be.
It's believable. We have to double check that.
So I think there's something ancient about this requirement to have just something babbling in the background. I do actually find it quite soothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just relating to what you said just now, you know, when things get silent and all this scary
your imagination
starts kicking in, it ties down with what this article is saying, you know, that we fear silence and we dread feeling alone because when everything's quiet, all this insecurity and fears and all this shortcoming that's buried deep in us, it starts creeping up.
Yeah, it could be related to just, you know, do you guys travel alone? Have you all ever traveled alone?
Yeah, plenty of
travel
times.
Travel alone, yeah?
Only for work, yeah. But not something by choice.
Yeah, would you travel by choice? But you know, travel alone? Really, no. Would you, Sharit?
No.
I need company kind of person.
Yeah.
You too, Sharit?
Yeah, I do. I don't think I've done that.
Have you done that, Chuang? Oh, you have,
I love traveling alone. I love it. Yeah. I love being in solitude. I think it was Gabriel Garcia Marquez who wrote a book called 100 Years of Solitude. I haven't read it yet, but it sounds intelligent when you say it.
Maybe we should get that for you for your birthday.
Just a ticket.
Yeah, but somewhere. I think there's something ancient. I think maybe as you get older, you treasure those moments of silence. But you know, there's a lot of times in your life and you just want some accompaniment. Otherwise, you feel lonely. You know.
Yeah, but what's interesting in this article as well is when you're lonely, it's what you play on it. So over here, it specifically points out the series Friends, which I think I'm gonna admit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that as well.
Strangely comforting?
Yeah, strangely comforting.
Who was your favorite friend?
Ooh, I'd say Chandler. I don't know
why.
You like
Chandler?
You like Chandler?
Something messed up
about
him.
What was yours?
Because she was the hottest, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember her name.
But someone that you can relate to, because Sharit is Chandler. So for you,
for sure, Joey lah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
How are you doing?
Now I should have said Monica. I think
Monica was irritating lah. That's the problem with her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
keeps the house clean.
Okay. Well, tell us what you think. Not about Friends, but about whether you can be alone and in silence. Or whether you can't, you would have to WhatsApp 018-789-8899. That's 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Continental Breakfast by Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile. That's
lovely
an eclectic song if there was ever one. But so guys, you know the share market.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that. You know the bond market.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Okay.
You know currency markets?
Yes.
Forget those two. You know commodity markets and palm oil and all? Forget all those two, because the asset class to have been in between the years of 2005 and 2015 was apparently Lego. Now, Joyce, what do you got to say about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's shocking, but at the same time, you can kind of understand it because, you know, I know quite a number of people, and these are adults who actually buy Lego to collect them. And one of them is sitting here in the studio, Mr. Kusu Chuang.
Well,
look at you.
After a fashion.
Pretending like you don't know what's going on.
How many sets do you have?
More than one, less than 100, lah.
He has over 50 sets, right?
Ayo, don't Lego on set. Me until like that. I've stopped being one because...
But you still collect it, right?
Yeah.
And it's according to this Bloomberg article, I think you can see from the rise in the prices, I was going to say stock prices, the rise in Lego prices. Like, for example, in one extreme case, a kit for Star Wars Darth Revan that retailed for about $4, this was in 2014. And then it went on eBay. Just 1 year later, it went up to nearly $29. That's a 613% premium.
Yeah.
And that's just for a small set. Can you imagine the bigger sets?
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, okay, so this is a Bloomberg story. Yeah? It's not just coming from like some Chekai place, right? It's Bloomberg, 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 you know, Bloomberg.com, Bloomberg, okay? So this is actually a story written on a 37-year-old PhD lady called something Drobinskaya. She's probably Russian or something, right? So she spent a couple of years, and she's working at the London School of Economics, right? Mm-hmm. She wrote this paper, and her conclusions are quite interesting because it varies from what I know about Lego the Lego asset class, right? She says that Lego sets that focus on superheroes, Batman and Indiana Jones are among the best that do over time. Simpsons, of course, haven't done so well. And she says that the smaller sets with fewer bricks in them actually have better, presumably because they're more rare, have done better. But what I understand about Lego sets over time is that it's the Star Wars genre that does really well.
Right.
And the modular sets like the Corner Cafe, you know, things like that, right? Town Hall, I think, is another one of them.
Right.
And the modular sets are like basically bits of a town that fit together with, and you can take bits and pieces of them off, and then it's like they're quite fun to play with, and then they become eventually part of a little town center. Those are the ones that do best over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure, you know, whether the trends are changing or the research is skewed towards one way or another, but it's true. If you have Lego sets and you play with them in the secondary markets, you can make a bit of a return.
Yeah, and what this Bloomberg article says is that also Lego sets don't show a significant correlation to financial crisis. So it
really?
Yeah. So because of that, that's what her conclusion was, that it can be seen as an attractive investment to diversify your portfolio.
You know why I started buying Lego sets, right?
Because you like to play with the Lego sets?
No, because I thought that... you know, this is the era when the Najib government was still around. And I thought I'd better, you know, have something physical and... No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I wanted to diversify, right?
Oh, no.
Because I wasn't sure whether, you know, it was safe to have everything in one place. And, you know, so I started buying other things, like bits and pieces of Lego and, you know, bits and pieces of other things, like one or two cars. Small
watches.
Cars, cheap cars, yeah, watches. Mm-hmm. Small cheap watches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah, so just to hedge your bets, lah. And I think that's why people do these diversified investments. Do you guys do that?
Well, I'm in that. Just simplifying my house and destroying
a
lot of
things. Marie Kondo thing.
Yeah. It's finding joy, sparking
but,
joy.
But it's really interesting, especially when you mentioned that those special characters, those figurines that has those evergreen sort of attachment to them, all the superheroes, that they cost more than the rest.
Well,
it really means that you really have to know what you want to get yourself
into. Yeah, you really got to know
like
what
paintings
you're
and stuff.
That's right.
Mm.
So apparently the ones to get are the Ultimate Collector Series ones, so the UCSs. The UCSs are the more rare ones.
Okay.
And then the large set. So the one set that did really, really well over the long term, 20 years, right, since the early 2000s, was the UCS Millennium Falcon. You know the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars, where Han Solo flies, you know, the Millennium Falcon. So I think those retail for like, I don't know, $500 back in the day, ringgit lah.
Right.
And then they went up as high as 20,000 plus ringgit.
Holy crap.
That's crazy.
Brand new in box, right, BIB.
So you can't unbox it.
You can't unbox it.
So that the value will be
retained. You keep it as pristine as possible in plastic. Yeah, so diversified investment. Okay, we're going to be having the next the news bulletin next. But first, Strange Love by Slim Harpo, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:39 in the morning. That was The Pretenders and Chrissy Hynde with Back on the Chain Gang. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharitz and Joyce Goh, my learned colleague from Penang. And we're going to be talking about this interesting little story that I think, Sharitz, you chose. I guess basically it's a reflection by our Women, Family and Community Development Minister, and also Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah. She wants us to emulate a model that comes from Finland. What is that all about?
Iceland,
sorry.
That's right. Well, you know, you remember those days when we were back in school and just after school or during those holidays when we have those free time in the evenings and, you know, we just enjoying the freedom and making new friends, listening to new music and experimenting stuff.
Yeah. Well, they're taking the extreme levels. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So some people are just taking it to the extreme level and now taking it to school. So I guess it's becoming a very... it's becoming a very prominent problem.
Yeah.
And I think government is now mulling or not, well, is mulling whether or not they should intervene, should come into the fray and start helping out
the youth
and I guess parents in this case.
I mean, just to reference Iceland, right? In Iceland, they've got this rule that kids between the ages of 13 and 16, so basically as long as you're below 16 years old, in winter, you've got to be home by 10 o'clock at night, and in summer, you've got to be home by before 12 midnight, right?
That's right.
And the reason is because in Iceland, the youth, well, let's call a spade. I mean, they love the alcohol and they love their drugs, right? Mm. And that's not a good thing. So the government in Iceland was trying to curb that. So one is I was, I think, attending a drug eradication committee, a group that she chairs, and I think she referenced the fact that in Malaysia, drug taking, especially glue sniffing, is quite prevalent among the youth. I'm not sure whether it's in a rural area, but definitely within the urban conurbations. And she thinks that a curfew for the young might help solve the problem. I think they're quite seriously looking at it.
Okay, so why can't the parents impose the curfew? Why do you need the government to step in and impose the curfew? So what, the government needs to step in and be a parent now? I don't know. That's going to help. But then again, if we look at the Iceland example, it definitely helped. I think the percentage of 15 and 16 year olds who had drunk in the previous month before, when the survey was done, dropped to 5% in 2016 from 42% in 1998. But then again, we also need to remember that in Iceland, right, there's only 330,000 people. The population size is very different.
I think Penang's got more people than them. Right?
So that's one difference that we should take note of. But yeah, I think that what they did in Iceland when it came to imposing curfew on the young, that helped. That actually helped them.
Well, I mean, the fact is, if you're not out and about with your buddies, right, and whatever, then you're not going to get in trouble. Like, if you're at home with your parents and there's none of your buddies to influence you, then you're not going to do those things, right? So yeah. I think that's the idea here. But yeah, you're right. I think, and this is what Dato Sri Wan Aziza said. She said, actually, the role of parenting starts with the parents. Mm. You can't expect the government to step in all the time. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, true. But by imposing these policy frameworks, it kind of like, it puts a ring fence around it as well.
Yeah, but at the same time, when we talk about curfew, we're talking about just the confinement of home. But these drug abuse, it's not just happening outside. It's not happening just in public spaces and within our house compound. But also in school. So I think in the equation, I think teachers should be empowered as well. I don't know if you noticed, I think over the past 10 years, parents have been so protective over their children. They're not giving teachers a lot of authority to instill discipline to their kids. I mean, in comparison to the days when I was growing up, I mean, teachers were just, they just go for it. I mean... Yeah, that's right. It really straightens you up. I mean, at least that's my experience. Whether whether there are those who are against those really hard love that teachers instill.
But you know what?
School.
Truth be told, Sharich, I think three of us have said, really. I mean, we are middle class kids. We're middle class people, right? I think maybe these kind of policies are aimed towards non middle class kids, maybe lower middle class or lower income families where. Maybe the parents are not at home or maybe they don't have the stability of the family structure.
Yeah.
So then they go out and cruise around and get unduly influenced.
Yeah, you have a point, Chuang. You know? Yeah, good point. And the thing is it because of the hours or is it 10 p.m. and that's going to stop them from doing all these bad things? Because what's stopping them from, I don't know, picking up smoking later, earlier in the day and all that is things that we should also try and help and understand why do they... why do they pick up all these bad habits and try and educate them?
Well, for sure, this is a problem among the youth, for sure. Mm. I mean, otherwise, why would,
why are they mulling this?
Yeah,
why
would they mull it? Mm. And I think once you impose this curfew, the authorities, whether it's the police or even members of society will say, hey, you're so young, why are you still out at night? Right?
Yep.
And then
yep.
It kind of like becomes a stigma to be out at night. So you're forced to stay in, you're forced to stay indoors. And when you're indoors, by and large, maybe you're not among your buddies, and then you don't do these things.
I think
right?
also because we have that, we have this whole 24-hour mama culture in a way.
That's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
And then you're still up at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're, we're all parents, right? What do you think of that? I think it's a good idea, generally.
To have
generally,
curfew, yeah.
Generally,
but
right?
teenagers being teenagers, you know, they. That's
yeah,
my concern.
And then
you know,
it's your,
I think I'll have my own curfew for my kids by the time they're teenagers.
Okay, so what would your curfew be? 16 years old, what would your curfew be? If they go at night and watch a movie, right? What time are they going to come home?
10, I think that's, yeah, I think that's fair.
I guess so, yeah, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
I used to have a curfew for phone calls as well. Did you guys have that? Oh, I see our producer, Dana, nodding her head.
So what?
Did you, curfew
no,
for
no
phone
more,
calls?
No more than 1 minute or 3 minutes?
No, no, as in what time your friends can call. Or there's this study hour as well, homework time, yeah. Did you guys have that?
And because I was from Penang, my mom said, if you're going to call your friend, don't make it more than 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you had to pay by me, no?
Yeah, that's right.
You'll check your bill and see how much time you spend on the phone. Yeah, I used to remember that.
Parental Lessons 101 from the BFM Morning Crew. We'll be back with more news, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning. That was Stuck With You by Huey Lewis and the News. I am Chuang, joined by Sharit and Joyce Goh. And we're going to be talking about some of the messages that have been deluging us. Is deluging such a word? Deluding us?
Well, yeah,
flooding
in. Flooding in, that's right.
I think there's six.
We were drowning.
Six messages. Basically, it's really in relation to the move by the family development, community minister, right?
Family minister.
Dr. Wan Aziza. She wants to, I think they're seriously considering having curfews on minors being out at night. And there's a lot of comments. One of our producers, Wee Boon Sim, talking about how, wondering how Syed Siddiq, our youth minister, feels about this, because this kind of like trespasses into his territory. Being the youth minister, and all, then another one of our producers,
right.
Mr. Roshan Kanesan. Remember, this is his theoretical point of view. This is for minus an alternative point of view. We've allowed the government to impose restrictions in the past on smoking, alcohol, and voting. So why not being out and about in public as well?
Mm.
Okay, yeah. So we've got a couple of tweets coming in. We have Tiana Jung saying, you know, 4 p.m., 5 p.m., you could already see teenagers with cigarettes in hand. So time doesn't matter. Enforcement of the law on underage drinking and smoking, etc., does.
Again, it's always the implementation, isn't it?
How do you actually enforce this kind of thing? Or are you just telling the kids off and, hey, go home, you know? You're not allowed to be out at night.
I think you have to go, if you see a younger person, maybe you go and check that. Ask how old are you, you should go home.
Yeah.
The community has to play a role, I think. Enforcement officers, I think they have a role. And I think just restructuring. There's a lot of civil servant out there. Maybe we could just reassign some roles.
You know, I used to work in the UK, right? I used to work in London. And I used to be quite intimidated because at night, and this like as early as like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, right? On weekends, Friday nights, Saturday nights, I'd be coming back from my mate's place. And there'll be basically groups of like young kids, right? And mainly boys, like, right? 15 years old, 16 years old, 14 years old. And you can tell they're high as kites, right? And they're very intimidating because they're quite well built by then. And there's like 8 of them, 9 of them. If you were a member of society and you were trying to tell these kids to go home, would you even consider going up and talking to them? Because it can be quite dangerous.
Well,
you know?
I wouldn't do it alone. That's for sure. But if you have a strong knitted community, perhaps, you know, where you can gather and have, you know, this normally it's not just a one-off thing, isn't it? I mean, they'll probably gather there like almost every night or several times. So it gives you some time to plan within your community just to engage a few people. And look, when all things fail, I guess enforcers, you know, that's when you start reaching out for authorities, I guess.
Okay, Li Shizian by Twitter, she's saying that step too far, negligible effect anyway. You want delinquents to quit, give them something constructive to do. That is interesting, right? I think you can do night races at KLI, at Sepang. You can, you can, you know. You can,
What else can they do at night? Huh?
No, I think they should be at home, but maybe there's a maybe try to understand why they're doing this, and maybe I say education or counseling.
Correct. You got to cure the symptom.
Yeah,
right.
Cure the symptom rather than, you know, try and get them to do something else, as in like at 10 p.m. I think 10 p.m. they should be at home.
Soup kitchen. I like that.
Mm.
Soup kitchen. Yeah.
No. I mean, I think Joyce is right. You've got to be at home anyway, right? Be that as it may. I just want to say this interesting comment from Chip in relation to being alone and, you know, listening to Netflix as background noise. He is tweeting as at Chipster. He's an acoustic engineer here. It is what you're used to and subjective. Let's say for you, quiet environment is a norm, then having constant noise will annoy you. Mm. Vice versa. Someone's noise might just be sound to others. So even if you want to have a moment of silence, it's inevitable. I thought this was quite interesting from an acoustics engineer's point of view. Mm. Okay, we'll be coming back with the 7 o'clock news in a few minutes, so stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.